Hello and welcome back to the Real Madrid podcast. At the end of what's been a difficult week for Zidane and his team, and it all began with them having to recover from this.
Renovation at the San Moix and the training grounds as well.
Look out.
Charging in, Lago Jr.
Nicely!
Rolling into the corner with a brilliant goal!
Magisterial! Lago Jr. pushes Real Madrid back! Chance for Courtois this time. Junior receives this one in position. Odriozola faces up to him. He knows there's a tiger coming at him. He ain't got him by the tail. He turns him, holds it. He goes away from goal, Phil, and then curls this one. Heavenly! That's a Stevie Nash three-pointer. How'd you like them apples, Mr. Nash?
Nothing
there's
but
your two-time NBA MVP. Steve Nash celebrating.
Celebration indeed for Mallorca. It inflicted Real Madrid's first loss of the season, which in turn meant they subsequently lost the top position in La Liga to Barcelona. Now, recovery time was very limited. It was straight on a plane and off to one of the most least hospitable venues in football, the Ali Semiyen in Istanbul and Galatasaray. On the night, it was down to sheer graft, determination, and a little bit of luck to pull them through.
Always looked likely to run away from Marcel Teixeira. And here's Hazard. And Hazard has the chance to take a touch. And it's Kroos, and it's in. Real Madrid have done what they had to do to silence the Ali Semiyen. Save for that pocket of supporters.
Yeah, once again, Gaia was unselfish play, this time from Hazard, looking for Benzema, could have taken it on himself, big deflection, takes it over, Fernando Muslera. Hazard, if he'd just dragged that touch a little bit further forward, I think the intention actually was always to try and find Benzema off the knee. Yeah, it is, isn't it?
A rare Toni Kroos goal then, meaning that Real Madrid moved to second in their group behind PSG. And in the days following, plenty of discussion, of course, about the plight of the club and what direction it's trying to go in and whether or not Zidane is the right man to guide them. Well, the one thing that nearly everybody agreed with was that Rodrigo's debut was a success. He himself had absolutely no idea of his inclusion in the starting lineup. So when did he actually find out? On the day, he said, when Zidane told us the starting 11, at the time, I was extremely nervous, but I really enjoyed it. It was a very special night, but it was tough to start. Zidane, he said, told me to just enjoy everything. Make sure, though, that I fulfilled my defensive duties, and when I got to the ball, to simply play. Problem now is, of course, that it's going to leave people wanting to see much, much more of Rodrigo. And they're clearly going to need to handle this situation better than they have done with Vinicius, who is clearly finding it a struggle to live up to everybody's expectations. Now, Zidane's future is constantly being discussed. Ramos did attempt to actually portray a united front when he said, "It is important that we promote a unified front here. We are fully behind Zidane. We are all together." Overall, though, the general view via the usual selection of polls that have appeared in the days following Champions League, Zidane's rating with fans remains relatively stable. The majority expect him to be in charge at the end of the season. But you don't actually have to go too far to find the smiling face of Jose Mourinho staring at you. But as opposed to just Madrid, he's now being linked with an ever-growing list of clubs, including Sporting, Lyon, Dortmund. Remember, he's already let it be known that he's learning German. And with Kovac, I suppose, under pressure, you could add Bayern Munich to that list. And if they don't win Champions League, PSG as well. But as editorials are saying, Madrid remain the favourite, and it's not a question of if, but when he goes. Now, there's been plenty of speculation surrounding Gareth Bale and his injury. He returned from international duty, remember, last week, and then mysteriously disappeared with no updates from Madrid as to what his situation was. Well, this actually became much clearer this week. The answer as to why there have been no updates was because Bale had simply refused permission. He prefers confidentiality between he and his doctors and simply didn't want the details in the public domain, which, of course, led others to speculate as to whether the injury was more serious than expected. But sources within the club expect him to be fit for the game with Real Betis a week on Saturday. Goals, or the lack of them, never far away from the media and the fan agenda. And with Mbappe and Haaland both on Madrid's wanted list, there's lots of speculation appearing. But it's revealed that in order to even get PSG to listen to a conversation involving his name, the bidding for Mbappe will start at around 300 million. Now, emerging as challengers for Mbappe, Juventus, a new signing of over 100 million. Yes, we are always ready, said Pavel Nedved. But you have to say that looking far more like good value in terms of investment, Erling Haaland is currently valued at just 12 million, which is probably going to equate to about half a season's salary for Mbappe. Now, whilst the future looks very bright for those two in particular, spare a thought, though, for Jovic, who's suffering his own personal torment magnified further when cameras caught the exchange between he and Zidane in Istanbul, which seemed to show the player struggling to actually understand what his instructions actually were. Remember, he is waiting still for his first Real Madrid goal. Midfield reinforcements are also being sought. Marc Rocha's name is back out there, with Bayern Munich also in pursuit. The soon-to-be 23-year-old Spanish under-21 international, still at Espanyol, was rumoured to be on his way in the summer. A January bid, though, looks imminent, it said, especially as he has a 40 million release clause. Now, if you were thinking that Perez had had enough of bringing young Brazilian players of potential into the club, then you would be wrong. Keep a lookout for Thales Magno. He's just 17 years of age. He's had one season at Vasco da Gama, working under Vanderlei Luxemburgo. The other is another 17-year-old, Ford Jorge, who is at Santos. He debuted for the first team aged just 16 and is in Sampaoli's plans for the coming season. The value of each of those players said to be in the region of 50 million euro. Another teenage star, this time from Premier League, is Chelsea's Callum Hudson-Odoi, who will celebrate his 19th birthday next week, now fully recovered from the knee injury which cut short his season last year. He's reminding everybody of his potential again under Frank Lampard this season. They missed a chance to take a gamble on him this summer. His contract had just a year to run. It's subsequently, though, been extended by Chelsea to 2024. So we'll need a bid in the region of 40 million to even begin to try and tempt Chelsea to sell. And that just about wraps it up then for today. There's no weekend fixture to look forward to, of course. El Clasico has been moved to December 18th. So two home games up next week in the league. On October the 30th, it's Leganés, and that'll be followed by Real Betis on November the 2nd. We'll be back with a roundup on Tuesday and a look ahead to the Leganés game on Wednesday. Until then, enjoy the weekend, whatever football you're watching. From me, Tim Capel. Till next week. Bye-bye for now.